Welcome to the Canon Cantina, a Star Wars Claude cast, where we're dedicated to talking about the best character in The Rise of Skywalker, Claude. I almost made Jesse choke on his drink when I said that. Welcome, everybody. This is Mike, one of your hosts. I'm obviously joined by my co-host, Jesse. How's it going, man?
It's going good.
That's my Claude
impression. That's all he does. Claude, fix that.
He has no arms.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So today, Mike, is our second episode in season two. And we're not going to say this every time. This is just fresh for us, so we're going to talk about it. But we're finishing those cliffhangers from season one. We talked about the Canon Cantina. You and I did a Rise of Skywalker literal hours after the movie came out review, initial impressions, first viewing. We talked about the movie for 2 hours. We went through the whole thing, pros and cons.
I think 2 hours made it to the internet. We might have talked for about three.
It was delirious. It was 3 a.m. in the morning on my side of town. And we talked a lot. So if you have yet to hear that, check that out, because today is going to be a Cliff Notes version of that at best, because we are going to basically reassess The Rise of Skywalker since we've watched it more times. We're also going to reassess what the internet has done with Rise of Skywalker.
We're going to reassess Star Wars fandom. We're going to do it all in the next 43 minutes.
Yes, please. And what that means going forward with Star Wars fandom and just Rise of Skywalker going forward. This is a really interesting movie to talk about. You and I, when we just did that initial reaction video podcast, could have not even guess this would be the state of the way of things right now. And, you know, well, I'm still shocked by some of it.
I think specifically, like, we couldn't guess specifics, but I think we could have been like, oh, hey, yeah, Star Wars fans are going to be mad and talking about something for 6 weeks after it's out. Yeah, we could have guessed
that's
that.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah.
That's been going on since the internet existed. Yeah.
So, that first episode was as soon as I got home from seeing, the movie that I called Jesse and we recorded.
That's right.
So this, we are recording this on February 3rd. So we've had more, chances to see the movie, more time to sit with it. I know that after my first viewing, I was happy, but still had a lot of things I was kind of upset about. A lot of that kind of got cut out because it was late and I was extra profane about it. I'll just go ahead and say that I think I've seen it 5 times total in theaters. So four more since then. Yes, Jesse, if he wants to talk about that, he's got a horrible story about why he's only seen it 4.5 times. But I definitely, over more watchings, have grown to either like the movie more or just become more comfortable and accept things that I maybe wasn't the biggest fan of and just move on past them to enjoy what's there. What's the general feeling you've had, as you've had a chance to see it some more?
I'm going to echo what you're saying, Mike. This won't be super interesting, but I feel like the problems I've had with the movie and the pros I've had with the movie are both amplified every viewing I go to. But that said, this being the end of a trilogy and the end of 3 trilogies and the end of a lot of things in Star Wars moving forward, I have come to be okay with that stuff too. And this is not some sort of like I'm in prison. This is some sort of I can't break out of this situation. I think you and I both are like legitimately okay with this sort of stuff. We enjoyed this movie a lot. And we said many times over and over and over again, JJ had the impossible task, and what he did with what he had, I think, is astounding despite all the problems. And, you know, the Star Wars internet world is up in arms right now. People are either hardcore for this or hardcore against it. That's what it seems like, at least. And for us to take a kind of different approach, I think, is refreshing. I hope we can bring something new to the table, because I think it's a great addition to Star Wars. I think it's a great addition to the Force, especially. And despite its problems, I think it does finish out this trilogy, and it does finish out the 3 trilogies. For better or for worse.
Yeah. So just a few notes. We are not going to be addressing the leaks of Colin Trevorrow's script. We are definitely going to talk about that at some point, but last we talked, Jesse hadn't had a chance to read up on all of that stuff, and that deserves its own
deep dive
attention for sure. So we're really just going to be talking about our thoughts and how those have changed on the movie, and maybe just some general observations on fandom and their reaction. But before we get any farther, do you want to tell your story about how you've only seen it 4.5 times?
I'll tell you two stories. One I've talked about on a podcast about The Rise of Skywalker since Mike and I last talked. And if you guys could do us the courtesy in checking out this podcast, that'd be really awesome. They're a lot newer show than Mike and I. They're called Panels and Reels. They are the intersection of comics and film. They're basically going at the angle of comic books and film. And that's kind of the way they approach their shows. I got the pleasure of being on their show. Their host is Ross Champlain. He asked me to come on, and we talked Rise of Skywalker, Mike. So a lot of them had seen the movie a couple times. I'd seen it a couple times at that point too. And we all talked about pros and cons of the movie, likes and dislikes, the sequel trilogy as a whole. So definitely check out their podcast. We'll link it below. I had a lot of additional thoughts about the Rise of Skywalker at that point because it was post me and Mike's initial thoughts.
Yeah, it was like now. two weeks after or so, because it was even after our live show and everything. Yeah,
it was a perfect time. They did a really good episode. Those guys mainly do comic MCU DC content, but they really dove deep into Star Wars in this episode, and I had a blast talking with them. Very privileged to come on their show, and I had a really fun time talking about Star Wars, and I'm privileged that I was the Star Wars expert on their show that week. As they are the comic book experts. So check it out. We will link it in the show notes. But that aside, okay. I tried to see the movie another time, Mike. We talked about this off mic. And now we're on the microphone. I'll explain it to the listeners. I finally got to take my parents to see the movie. And as you guys listened to last episode, crazy things have been going on in my life in the way of my wife's health and family obligations and hospital visits, et cetera, et cetera. So fitting another viewing of Star Wars in was actually pretty tough. We went to the movie, we saw Star Wars, myself and my two parents. And of course, I've mentioned on the show many times before, my dad was the one who insisted I see Star Wars at the young age of 4 years old.
We even got to call them out in person at our live show. It's their fault.
That's right. It's all their fault. And I was so excited to take them to the movie because they both had not seen it yet. Paid for their tickets. We all went and saw Rise of Skywalker, my wife and I and them. And we get to a pivotal part of the movie, Mike, where Rey encounters Dark Rey. She gets the Sith Holocron, which is the Sith Wayfinder. And then Kylo magically does the Star Wars teleport. I've always talked about on our show. Star Wars teleports to the Death Star where he's exactly where he needs to be.
Hyperspace moves at the speed of plot, man.
You're absolutely right. Destroys the Sith Wayfinder holocron with his hand. Sound goes out. Tornado warnings, Oklahoma. Power goes out. Okay. We wait 30 minutes. Visuals come back on with no sound. We see the body of Leia covered by a sheet and Poe talking to it. We see Kojimi. I said it correctly this time, not Kojima. Kojimi.
No, Kojimi. You still said it wrong. It's Kijimi. There's no O in it.
Kojimi. Right. We see Kojimi destroyed by the old Imperial Star Destroyers with the super laser weapon. Then we see the sheet of Leia again. And then the screen goes black. So we waited like 30 minutes for that. And it's very confusing. People in the audience are like, what's happening? And then eventually the theater people come in. They say, obviously, we've tried to restore the sound multiple times. It hasn't worked. The tornadic weather and the power outages have killed our sound systems. Everyone go home. Which is absolutely terrible because Rey and Kylo were starting their fight. My parents saw a little bit of that, just the fight starting with no sound. What a moment to stop, Mike. I've actually timed it now because I've seen the movie since. That's an hour and 20 minutes in of a 2-hour and 20-minute movie.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
before the final time. Hour of just full insanity, right?
Hopefully the you got like all the free, way free passes or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
and my parents are like still holding their breath. Like, what happened? Are we going again? And of course, since that day, we've been in the hospital, in and out of the hospital every day with family things. So we have not gone back to see it. So that's one of my half times to see the movie. I have seen it one more time since, but without my parents. So they are still like wondering what's happening. And what's so funny is we were somewhere the other night with my parents and people were talking about the movie and my parents were like, stop, stop, stop. We don't know what happened.
Spoilers, spoilers. We didn't get to finish it.
We finished 67% of the movie or whatever, you know? So
that's great.
It's wild. Crazy.
Yeah. So,
oh, I will say we got refunds for that, but it still feels defeatist when you, here's a refund for your movie that you sat, you know what I mean? An hour and 20 minutes through, but didn't get to finish. You know what I mean? Like we all live busy lives.
Yeah.
Like it's nice for the refund. It's nice for another ticket to see it again, but still feels off because movies are meant to be enjoyed in one sitting. That's always been my opinion. I will always stay by it. So what do you do? There's not really not much you can do about when weather permits.
Did you pull off The Irishman in one sitting?
No.
I mean, I haven't watched it at all. I was just curious if you managed to stay true to that.
Well, keeping consistent with that, did you hear Ricky Gervais's joke about that?
No.
Oh, he just said that when they all went and saw The Irishman, you know, because the award season, all that type of stuff, that by the end of the film, Leonardo DiCaprio's date had aged.
Oof.
Past his limit. It was pretty brutal. Ricky Gervais coming for the throat. He talked about The Irishman and Tarantino's new film, Once Upon a Hollywood, the same way. So
nice. Yeah, so kind of tying it back into our initial reactions to Rise of Skywalker, some things I initially had pretty big problems with. I was originally firmly in this camp of I much preferred Rey to be nobody. So I was upset that she was Rey Palpatine. Thing that bothered me, there were some of the, particularly where Rey tries to throw the lightsaber into the fire, and Luke catches it and he looks at the camera and says, a Jedi's weapon deserves more respect. He doesn't actually look at the camera. I was upset by it at the time and I like physically like cringed. I've come around on that. I've accepted that that's part of Luke's arc that is actually a continuation from The Last Jedi. That's a complaint a lot of people have. And they're wrong that this movie ignores The Last Jedi.
They're wrong.
It's been well documented that going into Rise of Skywalker, I wasn't like a hurtful anti-Reylo. Like if you're a Reylo, great, go do your thing. I just did not want that to happen in the movie. I thought it would be more interesting if it didn't. And I didn't want Ben Demption to happen. I will say that the way they pulled both of those things off, I'm largely okay with. So I'm kind of on board with the Reylo and Ben Demption that we got. I ended up more than like accepting. I kind of enjoyed how those ended up. So that's just a little bit of where I was to where I am. What about you?
Good questions.
And it doesn't need to be those same beats or anything. I just know those were the biggest things for me that I, you know, maybe had some initial problems with or whatever, but have since come around on.
Yeah, and I don't think I had those problems as pronounced as you, though I had some of the same echoes. I don't really think we got full Reylo or full Ben Demption. We did get them in this movie. I think the way they achieved them were correct. Of course, I like to see more of Ben in the movie. Of course, I like to see more of Rey in the movie. Of course, I like to see more of that dynamic, but they had to close things out. And Mike, we've talked about this time and time again. I don't think this is a problem with this movie. I think it's a problem with this trilogy.
Well, and not to ruin your train of thought, I think we're talking about the same thing. I want you to forget the other things we're going to say. I would have been okay with this being two movies, Harry Potter 7
yes, style. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, like break the trilogy cycle. I don't care. Either give us the 3.5-hour cut or give us two movies, part one and part two. I would have been fine with that. I understand the reasons why they didn't. I'm okay with them. I think it would have been better if we had gotten the longer movie or the split into two. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
No, it's like you and I alluded to in other podcasts, like how good would Endgame actually be if it only had a couple movies before it? Probably not that good. It still would be good. It's a self-contained, pretty good movie, but it's all that emotional buildup of all the previous films. And it's just problematic. Like this trilogy is just problematic. We've talked about this time and again. I really love it. I love that it was a reboot for new people. I love that it brought new people to Star Wars. That's always a victory for us here. But the first two films, in some ways, and this is not a Last Jedi thing only, this is a Force Awakens thing too, they dragged their feet in a way where the Rise of Skywalker had to do the triple time I was worried about before we went into the movie. Mike, and you and I talked about this several times. I feel like I didn't know most of the characters as well as I should have, or even factions, like the First Order. I didn't know them very well. And by the end of this trilogy, JJ kind of had to, in a weird way, cross all the T's, dot all the I's, and get out, you know, for better or for worse. And we've tied this back to a lot of things, and no one's fully to blame. The biggest thing is the planning was not as good as it could have been for the entire trilogy as a whole. And even there was times planning, and it was scrapped because different creators came in.
Yeah,
and things happened.
We saw that with like the whole Colin Trevorrow situation.
Absolutely.
And I know Pablo Hidalgo had said, yeah, there was a plan, but we wrote it in pencil, and kind of thank God they did, because no one expected Carrie to die in the middle of it.
No.
Overall, sure, this trilogy would have been better if JJ just did all three.
Definitely.
But I don't want that to sound like I'm taking away from The Last Jedi, because I still feel like Last Jedi is the best of the sequel trilogy. I went into this is again documented on our like prediction episodes. I thought this one would be like Return of the Jedi, which in the original trilogy I still love it, but if I had to rank the original trilogy, it's the lowest, and that's where I put Rise of Skywalker. But it doesn't mean I don't love most of what's going on in here.
Yeah, and I think I beat the horse to death too. I said I think it's the Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith type movie of this trilogy, and that's part of what these trilogies do. They finish in a particular way, and sometimes that's fast and intense, overbloated sometimes. That's okay, but it's a strange movie in general, because JJ had the impossible task. We talked about it before, finishing a trilogy and finishing multiple trilogies simultaneously.
And partly because of that, like, it is for sure the fastest Star Wars movie that we have. Saga and standalone, this movie goes, like, standing by our original review of JJ doing a bunch of cocaine and mainlining Red Bull, saying, I'm doing Indiana Jones and Harry Potter and Star Wars at the same time. This movie goes.
You back up, Mike, too, backing up our pre-review, too, our predictions. You and I both predicted the movie was going to be like that, because it kind of had to be.
So before we get into maybe breaking down like the discourse, what are some of the we'll start with the highlights. What are some of, now that we've seen it multiple times, the things that you are always happy to come back to here in Rise of Skywalker?
I mean, truthfully, the Kylo and Rey elements, the Bendemption, the way it's achieved with the memory of Han Solo, we talked about this, the power of it, the fact that Leia
cannot believe they got Harrison back for a day.
Yeah. Like, Leia uses her last bit of force to reach out to Ben. It kind of confirmed our predictions over the years, Mike, that I was always saying the only way that Bendemption could really happen in the most effective way is through Leia, and I'm happy it happened that way. I'm a little bummed. I understand the role that Luke had in the movie, but us being a Luke Skywalker-centric podcast...
Used to be, not anymore.
I want less or more of Luke than we got. The amount of Luke we got just seems shoehorned in to speed the plot along.
I would have liked to see more Luke, but can you give an example of another spot that he may have fit in?
Good question. I'm not sure if there's a spot other than the end, with the okay. Be With Me part.
Fair.
But on that, maybe not another part. It just seemed convenient the way Luke popped in, and then convenient the way he popped out, and then it was over. I do love he said the last line of Rey's Force moment with all the Jedi prior to her. But that leads into my next moment. The Palpatine, Ben, Rey with all the Jedi before her. That was executed as good as we could have got in a film form. I say that because a miniseries could expand on it more, whatever. That aside, you know, other than not getting some of the ghosts in physical form, namely Anakin and maybe Luke or something, I'm pretty happy with that. Like, it gives me goosebumps every time. Like, and I've seen the movie 5 times now almost. And
rounding up. Just like Han rounds down for the Kessel Run.
Absolutely. Goosebumps every time. Like, even some of these side Jedi, like Kanan and Ahsoka.
I think, you know, Kanan has maybe like one of the best lines.
The strongest lines.
In that whole thing, yeah.
One of the last lines.
Yeah.
Of the whole thing. So, powerful stuff. The scene with Adam and Harrison is just powerful stuff. The scene with Chewie, I still feel cheated with it. It's still powerful every time.
Which scene?
Where he dies, in quotes. Where Chewie dies from Rey
using
Dooku lightning. I don't know. Like, it. The movie is strange. It has a lot of highs and lows, similar to The Last Jedi, in my opinion. But the emotional beats it hits are so strong, they override the lows.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And not to repeat, or try not to repeat any of the things that you said, but just some other highs that I found myself like grinning ear to ear each time when I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Lando's okay. Muppet driver on Passana.
Amazing.
You know, maybe Billy Dee should have come back in The Last Jedi, but we got him now.
Maybe.
And the Lando we got was great. I challenge, like, people can say JJ failed at the CGI with Leia and the storytelling. And you know what? You write a better Star Wars movie. when you've got like 12 or whatever minutes of footage that you need to digitally alter and then write a story around, but still accomplish all these other things. You know, I think they did a great job in making Leia important in this movie, not just with the training at the beginning. I really do love, like, one of the lines she has at the very beginning, "Don't tell me what it looks like, tell me what it is," or things like that. Because I've found myself just in my career saying things to students, not pretty similar to that. So that was great. I loved getting Leia's lightsaber. That was maybe the most unexpected awesome thing for me that we ended up getting here.
Yeah, don't you owe me a beer or something? Yellow lightsaber We came close. We got Leia's lightsaber. We had the yellow Rey lightsaber. Bringing those together, maybe.
I owe you half a beer.
Yeah.
And for as
Leia's lightsaber is awesome.
As much crap as JJ and Chris Terrio will get for some things we'll talk about in a second, because we're gonna talk about the low parts. I Please. Overall like the new additions we got. Zori.
Oh, awesome.
Not only is she great, it gives an unexpected new dimension to Poe that we get to explore in the next couple of years with comics and books. Babu Frick.
Oh, he's everyone loves him.
Hey, he's great.
He's giving Wicket a run for his money.
So. And even though, you know, I struggled with Rey being a Palpatine, I was fine with Palpatine being in the movie.
I enjoyed him a lot.
After about the third time, I was like, you know what? Sure. We've done enough deep dives into Dark Empire. I don't need the explanation like so many other people seem to need about why he's back.
Here's what's strange. It's not really a hot take, but it's just strange. You and I got more information in Dark Empire 1 than we did of Rise of Skywalker five times over. Of Palpatine. And that's okay. It's just he was Palpatine, without a doubt. Like, I love Ian in this movie. Even in the cheesy parts that are more Palpatine cheese, it is absolutely Palpatine.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like him returning is enough, but him returning and doing a good job with not really that many lines. It's something. It's notable.
I'm going to do a couple things here. He had about eight times as many lines as Rose. Hit that in a second.
Well, he should. He's the main villain.
another thing that I love that JJ built on The Last Jedi was the Force connection lightsaber fight and the cinematography of that on the two planets and everything. You know, if Rian Johnson didn't direct the middle one, I don't think JJ would have come up with that. So that is something that he got to expand on that I think was done very well. So I kind of teased a little bit right there. I know that JJ and Chris Terrio are not bad people that were giving in to the fandom menace and purposely trying to erase Rose from the movie. I kind of believe that their explanation of we tried to have Rose be the anchor to the base and have her interact with Leia and it just didn't work. And I also get that Rose didn't need to be as big a part in this movie as Finn, Poe, Rey, and really even like BB-8 and Chewie. She deserved more. Dominic Monaghan did not need to be in this movie. Rose could have had a version of all of his lines. So that's a pretty big misstep. I'm not pitchforks and torches angry about it, but Rose could have done so much more in this movie. Lowlights isn't the right word, but maybe things I wish we'd had more time with in the extended cut. Seeing more of Hux versus Ren, there's some great stuff that is said by Hux in the visual dictionary about his rivalry with Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
That I would have loved to see expanded on more. I still think the Knights of Ren are stupid.
Right.
They didn't earn anything. Would have loved to see something that made them, that established them as threatening, let them fight Chewie or something there on Pasana. Yep. There's a couple other nitpicky things, but there's way more things overall that I did, of course, end up liking it. I'm thinking real quick, make sure I didn't gloss over anything. I'll just say a few things in terms of the trailers that we got. They showed too much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got the whole bait and switch with the emotions 3PO. Which they could have restore him at the end. Let us feel the emotional impact throughout the movie. They should not have shown the scene with the fleet. I know it was just the Ghost and some other ships, but should have left that out. It still has a big impact on me, but I think it would have had a bigger impact if it, you know, was just shown in the movie for the first time.
It would have been insane. Yeah. That scene's a big misstep because we see the Falcon like coming in with the whole fleet behind it. And when you're in the movie, Mike, you know that implication, what that means, because Lando's going to get people to join the fight. Yeah. So we know it's coming.
And this one's a little specific, but I'm mainly just saying it to see your reaction. Aftab Ackbar should not exist. Well, that was entirely boring. I thought your reaction was going to be a lot more than that.
No, I want Ackbar himself. I don't care about his son. who had a weird voice.
The Emperor should be dead.
It's really strange. He didn't do very much either.
So I kind of ran through some of my, again, don't like the word low lights, but what were some things that you maybe wanted to see more of or maybe were a bit disappointed by?
This is tough, Mike. I would say mainly that you might say that Palpatine, Rey, and Ben Solo got a lot of time, but I feel like they didn't get enough time. They got enough to seal the movie, to seal the story, right? Their conflict and their interaction, three of them. But, you know, within 4 minutes, we have Kylo Ren encountering the Emperor, and then the rest of the movie is the heroes trying to find the Emperor. And that seems like a misstep in some weird way. It seems almost like we could have had Kylo Ren going Bendemption earlier in the movie, potentially, not by much, but a little bit earlier. And then maybe him and Rey hooking up to go find
Giggity,
Palpatine
that's the,
faster.
You're part of what the internet wants right there.
No, not that type of hookup. I don't know. It just seems strange that, like, within 5 minutes, Kylo Ren achieved what all the heroes are trying to achieve for an hour and a half.
That's interesting because I had no problem with that.
I don't really have a problem with it. I also love that first 5 minute scene. It's so cool. Like the
I wish we'd seen the Vader's castle part that apparently just didn't work visually.
Drives me insane, Mike. It drives me insane. There's no reason that should be Mustafar if we don't know it's Mustafar.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I completely agree.
Like, you and I as Star Wars fans can gather that's Mustafar through canon material and visuals.
I wouldn't have if the visual dictionary didn't tell me.
You're right, but like, since it wasn't obvious, why not just be a snow planet, right?
Well, and
it'd be better in some ways because it's annoying because we could have enriched Vader and the Sith history even more just by seeing the castle, by seeing Kylo flying to the castle and picking up this item.
And that's the thing. I know that was the original vision. So I'm interested in why that didn't work and why they ended up just being like, we'll put it on a planet that kind of looks like Mustafar and just move on past it fast enough that no one's going to really care because it makes sense that Palpatine would have one Sith Wayfinder with him and Vader would have one Sith Wayfinder with him.
It's amazing.
I noted earlier.
It ties all three trilogies together.
You still have a problem with Wayfinder and Holocron. You people need to get past that. I've explained this before. Wayfinders are just GPSs while Holocrons are so much more. But
they're still the same thing though. It's annoying. Like they look the same visually.
No, they don't.
In the canon. I'm not even referring to Legends. I'm referring to canon.
They look different.
Not really. No. No. The geometric shapes with the energy on the inside. That was a misstep. That was a big misstep because...
And again, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just wondering what fell apart and why we didn't get
going better. Purely off of live action. I'm not even going to offer our Clone Wars Rebels influence or any of that. Like, we saw Vader's castle prominently displayed in Rogue One.
I know.
The movie that needed it less.
Yes.
This movie needed it more because we had Sith.
Very true.
We had Sith lore, Sith. What's it called? Cloning. Sith dark magic, whatever, you know, like
it's the worst.
Like this was the movie we needed those shots. Big misstep. What happened there? What a mistake. That's a Hasbro toy sold right there. Seriously. like buy the Kylo Ren set where he's picking up the holocron from Vader's castle. Okay. People buy that immediately. But that aside, like I think what I said with our first review, Mike, I continue to stand by. I know you care less than I, but like Kylo Ren in this movie, he had the least role in this movie of all the movies. And I get it for the part of the story. And we talked about this in our first review. It's just strange, but I get it. I do get it.
Well,
it's just strange.
And I don't disagree with you. I think that in the extended cut or the two movies version, he should have had more to do as Ben Solo. But if we're going to cram
it. But even as Kylo Ren, he had less. Even as Kylo Ren, he had less in this movie than the other two.
That will be an interesting comparison. Because, you know, everybody loves Darth Vader. But in the original trilogy, he's on screen less than 30 minutes. It'll be interesting to do the Kylo Ren comparison.
Yeah. Question, yeah.
Because
but like you said, Ben aside, Kylo Ren aside, I'm so happy Lando was in the movie. Was he necessary? Yeah, maybe he was necessary because
you know,
he got everyone in the Core Worlds to come in. But
I have another disappointment related to that. But yes, go on.
But as you said before, was he necessary for the movie to happen, for the plot to happen? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I love it. I love he's there. I would have loved more of him in the first two movies. Even if it was minimal, like Admiral Akbar level, that'd have been great.
Might have died. I'm glad he didn't get that involved.
My goodness. Yeah. but just the movie is still, it's still disjointed. It's still like this aggressive Indiana Jones movie on speed at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then like this other movie in the middle, and then this weird Sith, Revenge of the Sith type conflict at the end. It's several movies back to back to back.
Yeah.
And for better or for worse, it achieves goals. So it is necessary to do that. But, you know, I get it. I get the problems there. Now, we have Luke, Han, and Leia in this movie. They all, in my opinion, achieve a emotional catharsis of some sort for our leads.
Yeah.
Like they help the leads achieve their story points. That too, we have a pretty good battle with the Resistance Rebellion versus the First Order / Sith Empire.
You know what JJ never actually did in his two movies? He never put in a proper space battle, which is insanely interesting to me, because Starkiller Base was technically an atmosphere and so was the Battle of Exegol. Rian Johnson is the only one in the sequel trilogy who gave us a space battle, and I love it.
It's the best space battle, yeah.
But it's interesting that we only got one actual space battle in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. But we got horses.
I love Janna and her stormtrooper defectors, and I actually love the horses too.
Me too. They look so real. Like, it's absurd. I've watched the movie 5 times now almost, and like, you can tell they're real horses with costumes on, but like, you can't tell where the CGI and the costume ends, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But all that aside, Mike, like, we finished this plot. Let's get into your main complaints while we're here.
Well, we've kind of already covered all of them. Well, Palpatine was one I did want to say, and this is kind of
Ray Palpatine. Ray Palpatine.
Well, just real quick, this is kind of a tease for when we talk about the Trevorrow script once you've had a chance to read up on it. I would have liked the legend of Luke Skywalker, his sacrifice at the end of The Last Jedi that we saw carried through the galaxy via Broom Kid and his friends in the stables. I would have liked to have seen some impact of that on the galaxy. So that it wasn't Lando just recruiting everybody. And the Trevorrow script actually did a decent job getting into that. But getting into Palpatine, which is something I know you want to talk about.
What happened with the Luke thing, by the way? We were the Luke show. Like, what? Like, Poe just says we lost the battle crate. No one came. Like, it was a bummer.
Well, like I've said in other actual Star Wars, people have said hyperspace moves at the speed of plot. Maybe just no one could get to them in time. Or maybe everybody was literally like, no, we're going to go there. We're going to die. It's not worth it. Sorry, Leia. We don't know, but we didn't see any exploration of that in this movie. And I would have liked to have seen, you know, Luke has inspired people and they just need one last push to get to that point. And maybe that's in the 2-movie cut. But Palpatine at the beginning, great.
Everything.
I thought he was pretty
gothic.
Good. Snoke's in a jar, sure, whatever. My actually biggest problems with Palpatine come after he has tried to kill Ben and Rey and realizes, I'm not lightninging them, I'm absorbing their life force. Oh, cool. Sure. I'm restoring myself. We don't know for sure what Matt Smith's original role was. I cannot believe I'm saying this.
I can't either. Empire.
I would have preferred they lean more into Dark Empire have Palpatine restore himself to a younger version played by Matt Smith, maybe even voiced by Palpatine. Because he looked bad most of the time after that.
What does bad mean? I want you to explain that.
I didn't like it. This looks like Emperor Palpatine. The only time he looks
the first time we talked about the movie, you thought I was crazy when I said he looked different before this, where he was like literally just Ian with Ian's fresh body with blind eye capsules in his contacts.
I like that. It's when he's restored that I don't like it.
So when he's restored, he's like his original body. Like when he was before that, he was like his old man / clone body where he's like, he's kind of fresh, you know? And then when he like dementors them, he's like, I'm now Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi Palpatine in my old Sith form.
I would have rather have seen him be in his most powerful form ever, which would be a younger,
fresh
body. Because there are times where it just like, he doesn't look scary or threatening. The scene where he looks skyward and shoots the lightning, that looks like the evil, scary Emperor Palpatine. The rest of...
Yeah,
it does. So really, there's one line I can't get over.
Look what you have made.
And then anything beyond, I'm like, oh, God, this is stupid. You look like crap. You're not threatening at all. Give me Matt Smith, young Palpatine, maybe with a lightsaber battle, I like how the Rey and Palpatine fight ended up, even though he's a dumb for never learning, stop shooting force lightning when my opponent has a lightsaber.
Second time.
Third time.
Hubris. Yeah, hubris.
So overall, I accept Palpatine. I visually ended up not liking Palpatine's final form.
Interesting. I don't have much to say about that because I kind of loved it. You know this.
I am well aware I'm in the minority on that.
And his acolytes everywhere that could be very well spiritual Sith acolytes from a time bygone past. Very well could be real people.
They are real people as confirmed by the visual dictionary.
There you go. I just was uncertain if all of them were real people. Of course, we knew at least a chunk of them were real because they were pulling the plugs on the back to tanks and stuff.
Yeah.
But I did not know if all hundreds of them were real acolytes.
They're the people who had the kids that flew the Star Destroyers.
So they get completely annihilated by Rey's rocks everywhere as she's destroying everyone, murdering everyone. So I'm a big fan of Palpatine in this movie, though I think it's still strange that he wasn't in one of the movies earlier. Because it just seems like scrambling. It just seems really fast. Like, Ian's great. Ian nails Palpatine like he always does. But it's one movie. And it just seems like double time. Like, we've talked about the cocaine, Red Bull.
What the line? Thing. I made Snoke. That's not enough for you?
Yeah. I like it. It's very Palpatine. We talked about this before. I think you and I even had theories on some of the stuff. But it's so quick and just move on. We got a lot of movie to get through. It is pretty intense.
That's just the subtitle for this whole movie. We got a lot of movie to get through. Let's go.
Let's go. So, but I love that Rey beats Palpatine by literally just defending.
Yes.
Like the double lightsaber. And
is that she double needs Skywalker the double. Oh, great. Love it. Yes.
Yeah, she doesn't do anything overly powerful or like overpowered to defeat him.
She refuses to hate, you know.
Refuses to hate. She has all the Jedi living through her, encouraging her to defend her, to just defend, not attack. And she uses the two Skywalker sabers to do it. So, Mike, that leads us to the last scene of the movie. Some contention for some people. But, like, how do you think about this last scene with Rey going actually to Tunisia, to Tatooine, to bearing the lightsabers of Leia and Luke, and then just the whole who are you scene?
So we have gone on long enough. We will not fully get into the discourse talk tonight. But this is one of the most maddening parts to me.
It is.
Because there are people that are like, she started her story alone in the desert and she ends her story alone in the desert. Bitch, she's not ending her story there. She's got BB-8 and the Falcon. I'm sure that Poe and Finn just didn't want to get off the Falcon. They're busy playing Chewie in Holo Chess again. They're like, yeah, sure, Rey, go do whatever you want to do. She's not staying there. That was more of just like, I can't go to Alderaan, so how can I honor both of my masters now that I have finished my own lightsaber and my Jedi training is now complete? I was totally fine with it. She waited a little long with Rey, who she stares off into the sunset for a little bit and she sees Luke and Leia, and the stranger's like, why is she looking that way and not at me? Rey Skywalker.
Right.
We all knew Rey Skywalker was coming. I'm fine with it.
I am too. I don't understand the massive backlash on this. I really don't get it. Like you said, she's not living here. It's a memorial site for Luke and Leia.
Maybe should have been for Anakin too.
It should have been, probably, but she doesn't know Anakin. So even backing up on my own once.
Look at that. Explained right away, right there.
Yeah. Someone who wanted She'd be Anakin like, this
who's
movie
the,
more
who's
than
this third a-hole showing up in my Force Ghost vision here?
Hayden doing the smile. It's like, who are you? Oh my. Even better, Jake Lloyd showing up.
Poor guy.
Poor man. So I think it's a suit. It's a good ending for the saga, which is the point.
I completely agree. So just to get some final thoughts here, Rise of Skywalker is currently a critic score of 52%, the lowest reviewed Star Wars movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sure.
Incorrect, in my opinion. If the prequels got reviewed in modern day, they'd be eviscerated even more. And I actually kind of think that the original trilogy would get eviscerated even more. So Rotten Tomatoes scores not being a thing. But, well, just critically, based on the Internet Archives, or whatever you want to say, this is the worst saga movie. Do you agree?
No. No. It's not the worst Saga movie. I do understand the lower percentage. I don't understand that number. Mm-hmm. I would understand a 70%, right?
Well, and this too, a lot of, I'm not saying you do, but a lot of people misunderstand Rotten Tomatoes. It's not saying that the average score of reviews is 52%. It's saying that 52% aggregate of reviews aggregated are unfavorable, or only 52% are positive. I said that
positive.
Yes. I disagree with that. I would watch this over any prequel any day. I'd put this right in the middle of the pack with all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I talked about this on the panels and reels. I talked about this on our first initial show. I think it falls right in the middle of the pack or the bottom of the middle, which is completely fine because mm-hmm. there's 11 movies now. In a weird way, Mike, for me, it what day of the week is it? Yeah. Return of the Jedi, Rise, and Revenge of the Sith all have their highs and lows, and they are all very similar. Mm-hmm. So, like, change those three movies out interchangeably is pretty fair assessment where they fit, and that's not being rude or overly nice to any three of them, all three of them. I think they're all pretty similar in that way. Choose your flavor, you know? Do you like chocolate, ice cream, vanilla? What do you like this week? They've all got their things going on. It's still Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like, Arna, on this show, we try to talk about how much we love Star Wars, and we try to keep those haters at bay. We also try to be constructive, right? And you and I have the luxury and the curse of growing up our entire lives, not only with the movies, but all the literature that came with that as well. So you and I can really look at this objectively and say, like, we've seen all the literature, canon, and legends. And, you know, this saying it sits in the middle somewhere or even the upper middle is fine.
Yeah.
I think that's agreeable because at the end of the day, it's more Star Wars. It expanded the Force. It expanded the Jedi, expanded the Sith. And, you know, we got more information on new characters we really love. And I will take that, Mike. I love Rey more from this movie than I've ever loved her. And that's good
statement. Yeah, I like that. So we've gotten a little over on time. We appreciate you sticking with us. One of our main focuses here in the season 2 soft reboot is we're going to be more timely
concise.
This went a little long just because Jesse and I haven't had a chance to talk about Rise of Skywalker, even just like off air.
Since we've
had a chance for our thoughts to evolve. So this is definitely not the last time we're going to talk about it. We will revisit the discourse. We will revisit the Trevorrow script. We will probably do a commentary at some point and deleted scenes and all that. But we wanted to kind of do our best to put a bookend on, the theatrical release window of Rise of Skywalker. We appreciate you listening to The Canon Cantina. You can find us all over social media at The Canon Cantina. We're hosted on Anchor, anchor.fm/thecanoncantina. Give us a review, a rating on your podcast platform of choice. We appreciate you sticking with us. You can send us an email to canoncantina@gmail.com if you think we're really wrong about something, and if it's funny, we'll read it on the air. Still waiting for that one-star review. That's really funny to read on the air, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, you say as we have people that have given us all 5 stars. Thank you so much. It's a luxury.
It'll happen. Right here. It'll happen. I'm waiting on it.
But, you know, Mike, now we've gone through The Mandalorian. We've gone through the end of The Rise of Skywalker. Season 2 is looking promising. It's looking really exciting. Where we can go from here, we hope you guys enjoy what we're doing.
So if you want a concise-ish preview of kind of what's happening with the show, how we've kind of done our soft reboot, and how we've moved away from being Luke Skywalker-centric, listen to the first few episodes of our Season 2 premiere, where we explain the different angles that we're taking with the content and just types of shows that we're having. Kind of what's going on with our real lives that's sort of forcing all of this to happen.
Crazy.
Yeah, so that was the last time we're talking about Rise of Skywalker this week. I'm sure we will revisit it again. Thanks for joining us here in the Canon Canteen, everybody. Cheers.
May the Force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.